I'm Ron DeLegge, inventor of the Portfolio Report Card, which tells you if your investment plan is on or off track. No more guessing about your investment portfolio's fees, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started. Find out if your IRA, 401k plan, and investment account passes or fails. Take off the blinders and invest with confidence. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started and find out if your investment plan passes or fails.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host, Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Portfolio report card for CGS in Lake Orion, Michigan. I'll be doing that on today's show. We'll be dissecting their $1.4 million investment portfolio. Does it pass or does it fail? Stay tuned. We'll give you all the details. Also coming up, I'll be sharing some details and tidbits with you from the just published March ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. We're going to share some mega investment themes with you so that you can stay on track and know what's happening in the global financial markets and some of the ETFs that are doing well. And of course, we'll tell you some of those sectors that are not doing so well so that you, those of you with a bearish slant can make some money. 877-711-5611 is the number. Again, this is the Index Investing Show. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Ron DeLegge. So let's get right to it, beginning with European stocks heating up. And the focus remains on Greece, and it's just approved temporary four-month credit extension. And I've done my best to try to help you understand, folks, that all the gloom and doom coming out of Greece and Europe, you got to focus on the facts and focus on the numbers and focus on the trends and what's actually going on with that particular market. And if you take a look at European stocks, it may shock you and to surprise you to know that they're outperforming U.S. stock market. That includes the S&P 500 and the Dow and even the much-beloved NASDAQ 100. Now, if you take a look at the Vanguard European ETF, ticker symbol VGK, this is a fund that continues to perform very strongly, up around 6% on the year. VGK is the ticker symbol. And, of course, again, forget the headlines, forget the news, focus on the numbers, focus on the facts. Arithmetic is not an opinion. And this is something, too, that we alerted readers to, and it's contained in the just-released March issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. We have gone long, aggressive European stocks, and UPV is another ETF. That's the ProShares Ultra FTSE Europe Fund, which aims for double daily performance to European stocks. That particular ETF is already ahead, double digits by almost 12%. So European stocks performing very well. Now, of course, it's been quite a different story for European debt as well as the euro itself, which at this moment we are avoiding. Taking a look here at what's going on with the U.S. stock market. So we've got the S&P 500 since the beginning of the year ahead now by almost 3%. And we continue to see these headlines, oh, the market's at all-time highs. Yes, it is, but there are certain markets that are still, nonetheless, performing better than the U.S. and up much, much higher. Of course, Europe is just one of those. I'm going to get you caught up on a couple of the others. Taking a look at a few other asset classes, gold, ticker symbol GLD, up 1.5% since the beginning of the year. Developed international stocks, VEA, ahead by almost 7%. And then VNQ, which tracks U.S. real estate, also known as REITs, ahead by around 4.5%. So that's a quick gander at what's going on with the global asset classes. Also, we did our monthly income trade for March. Those of you that are interested in getting more income, we do a once a month, like clockwork, we sell covered calls on an all ETF portfolio. Right now, it's divided between SPY and GLD. Our latest trade for March, we generated almost $700 in monthly income. In February, we already generated over $1,000 of monthly income. And you may be asking me, well, how can you be doing your March trade when it's not even March? Well, because with the way that the call options work when we sell the covered calls, we always execute those trades 1 month in advance. So right now, it's still February, and we're executing our March income trade because, well, the options expire on the third week of March, so we execute them in February. So that gives us time to let the positions play out. But in the meantime, while we're markets are doing what the markets always do, we collect the income by selling covered calls on that all ETF portfolio. And it is a hypothetical $100,000 all ETF portfolio, again, divided between SPY, GLD, two distinct asset classes that are different. But what's interesting here, it's a very simple design. And I'm not saying that this is necessarily the asset mix that you should have, because obviously, well, you should know my view on that. You know, a two asset class portfolio is not going to get the job done, is it? I mean, we put that type of portfolio through Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card. A two asset class portfolio is going to flunk every single day of the week. But on the other hand, this is okay for the strategic or tactical portion of your portfolio. Now, can anybody tell me what that is? When you're making tactical trades, when you're making strategic moves, whether that be with a sector ETF, whether it be with a leveraged fund, whether it would be with an inverse or short performing fund, or perhaps an individual stock or private equity or venture capital or an IPO. Tell me, can anybody tell me where those types of assets belong in the terms of your overall investment portfolio? Because you've got the core and then you've got the non-core. So where does these types of assets go? Does anybody know? Call the show, 877-711-5611. Let me know where these types of assets go. These types of tactical assets, these types of tactical strategies, like selling covered calls. Does this go in the core or the non-core? Help me out. At Index Show, by the way, is my Twitter handle. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. So let's take a look at the portfolio report card that I'm going to do on today's show for CGS in Lake Orion, Michigan. And just give you some quick background about them. They're a married couple. They found us by listening to the podcast. They love the show, and I'm glad about that. And they heard me doing the portfolio report cards for other listeners, and they said, well, we want to submit our portfolio and see how it does. So this is a self-managed investment account at Fidelity. The total account value is $1.4 million, and this is divided into multiple accounts. We've got her IRA, we've got his IRA, and then she's got a Roth IRA, and then she's got a trust account. So that's how the money is divvied up. Now, we'll get you the details of all the specific holdings and so forth coming up, but I do need to tell you about a little bit about them, just so that you understand who we're dealing with. CGS, he's 56, his wife is 48. They've got a couple of kids, and they told me that their investment mix is determined by studying the markets. Okay, I want you to remember that very closely, because when you see what they own, I want you to just remember that their investment mix is determined by studying the markets. So keep that in mind as I share with you what their portfolio data is. Right now, he says that they don't think foreign markets look very good. He says, I guess you could say I'm a market timer. He bought GLD, which tracks gold, in 2009, sold it in 2012. Wasn't too happy with the results on that one. And they consider themselves aggressive investors, and their main investment goal is to arrive at retirement with more money than they have today. So that's CGS from Lake Orion, Michigan. We're going to get into the details of their $1.4 million portfolio, look at cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance, and give them a final grade. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back.
Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, so taking a look at some of the top S&P 500 sectors. Now, these sectors, these ETFs carve up the specific industries within the S&P 500. And if we did that, well, you're going to wind up with nine different sectors within the S&P 500, like healthcare, like technology, like financials, like materials and industrials and utilities and consumer discretionary and consumer staples. When you add it all up, these bits and pieces, then you get the S&P 500. But what this allows you to do is to carve up the sections or the pieces of the S&P 500 that you want to emphasize or own within your portfolio. Now, since the beginning of 2015, certain sectors are clearly performing better than others, and one of those has been ticker symbol XLB, which tracks material stocks, heavily linked to chemicals and paper products, as well as you've got some miners in XLB. And so you might say a sector that's closely tied to the performance of commodities. XLB ahead by almost 7%. Although I should add an important detail that if we look at the actual performance of commodities as a group versus XLB over the past several years, there hasn't been much of a correlation because XLB has just blown away the performance of commodities easily, handedly. I mean, it's not even a contest. So XLB is ahead by almost 7% since the beginning of the year. That is the number one performing industry sector, by the way, inside the S&P 500 thus far in 2015. And just behind that, we've got another ticker symbol, which you're probably familiar with, XLY, which tracks consumer discretionary stocks, ahead by 4.56%. Since the beginning of the year. So that's what we got going on sector-wise. I should mention one last one that was a leader last year that is clearly having a rough go here in 2015 is utilities. XLU down 3.24%. One of the factors happening there are rising interest rates, and we've seen a dramatic fall in the price of long-term U.S. Treasuries and bonds in general over the past several weeks have not performed well, and so that's begun to impact some of these rate-sensitive sectors like utilities. So XLU down 3.24%. That's what's going on there, and we'll get you caught up on some of the other areas. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge, and coming up on today's show, we'll be doing a portfolio report card for CGS in Lake Orion, Michigan. Already told you, this is a couple. They've got $1.4 million in investments, and he's 56. His wife is 48. He works in the auto industry. She's a housewife, and they have these assets combined. She's got an IRA. He's got his IRA. Then they also have a trust account that she inherited, and then she's got a Roth IRA. So that's the accounts that I am analyzing and grading. Now, her IRA consists of, and it's a very simple design, $287,000 in QQQ. That's a NASDAQ 100 ETF. And then the remaining balance, about $130,000, is in the Vanguard S&P 500 mutual fund, VFINX. So that's her IRA. Now, his IRA is $180,000 in SPY that tracks the S&P 500. Then he's got another $35,000 in SPY, Actually, that's her Roth IRA. And then she's got a little bit of cash in there, about $5,000. And then her trust account has QQQ, $250,000, and then a little bit of cash there. So that's her trust account. And then his traditional IRA has $500,000 invested in Apple, ticker symbol AAPL, and then his Roth IRA has about $80,000 in QQQ. So this is their asset mix. We're going to take a look at five areas, grade their portfolio, and see if they pass or fail. Let's look at the first area, which is cost. And the combined portfolios consist of just two ETFs, SPY and QQQ, one mutual fund, VFINX, and then one stock, AAPL. I mean, it's a pretty simply designed portfolio. I congratulate them in terms of simplicity. I mean, we should always be erring on the side of simplicity because complicated portfolios aren't necessary. And for the most part, the more complicated you get with your investments, the more difficult it often becomes to execute your plan. And so in terms of, you know, simplicity, again, they're doing fine. But we're looking at cost and the blended expense ratios of their portfolio. These mutual fund, this one mutual fund and ETF they own is very low. I mean, 15 basis points. That's what the blended cost is that I'm working out. 0.15%. That's 15 basis points. And that's very low. Also, their trading activity is not very excessive. So that's good. So overall, I would have to say this portfolio does pretty good in terms of minimizing cost. So an excellent start for CGS in Lake Orion, Michigan. Again, we're analyzing and grading their $1.4 million portfolio. It consists of two traditional IRAs, two Roth IRAs, and a trust account. And so now let's take a look at the next area, which is diversification. Now, you know the standard of what represents a diversified portfolio versus what doesn't. I hope. And if you don't, well, it's very simple. A portfolio that does not have exposure to the five major asset classes is not by definition fully diversified. What are the five major asset classes? Does anybody know? Stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Those are the five biggies. So in terms of the combined portfolios for CGS, they have exposure to U.S. stocks. That's good. They've got exposure to cash. That's good. Those are two major asset classes right there. However, major asset classes missing from their overall combined portfolios are the following. They're missing exposure to bonds. They're missing exposure to real estate. They're missing exposure to commodities. And if we drill down and just look at their equity exposure, we just mentioned they've got exposure to U.S. stocks, but they lack exposure to international stocks. Now, you'll recall in the previous segment that we highlighted a bias that CGS has. He said, I don't think foreign markets look good right now. Well, this is something that they're purposely and deliberately omitting from their portfolio. They're making a strategic or tactical decision in their core portfolio, and that's a mistake. We never make tactical decisions in a core portfolio. We make tactical decisions in the non-core portfolio. Because remember, the core has exposure always to the five major asset classes at all times. The only tactical or strategic thing that you will do in your core portfolio is dial up or dial down your asset exposure to that particular area. That's as tactical you'll ever get in your core portfolio. The other stuff, the omitting major asset classes, the overweighting of a certain area, that stuff's reserved for your non-core portfolio. So not a good job on diversification at all for CGS from Lake Orion, Michigan. We're analyzing and grading their $1.4 million portfolio. We'll look at some of the other major areas like risk, like tax efficiency and performance, and give them a final grade. Now remember, if they get an A, I pay them $100, and that's a challenge that I send to all listeners You take Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card Challenge and get an A, I pay you $100. PortfolioReportCard.com. I'll be right back.
Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
So there is a right way and a wrong way to build an investment portfolio. If you haven't noticed, I'm not one of these people that believes that all roads lead to the same place. Now, there are certain investment strategies, obviously, that are distinctly different that have varying levels of success. Sometimes you'll even have opposite investment strategies that have success, but that doesn't mean that all roads lead to the same place because they don't. They don't, quite simply. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to build an investment portfolio. And the only way to know if your portfolio is on track and built in a healthy manner, a manner that's robust, that's credible, that's believable, that can survive a hurricane and also thrive when it's sunny out, go to PortfolioReportCard.com and I'll tell you. I'll tell you if your investment portfolio passes or fails. I've already analyzed and graded more than $50 million worth of investment portfolios from people just like you. And guess what? In 2015, we're going to pass $100 million in graded portfolios. And I don't care if it's a traditional IRA or Roth IRA, trust account, taxable brokerage account, 529 plan, 403B, 457. It doesn't really matter. If it's posing as an investment, I will analyze it and grade it. Again, go to PortfolioReportCard.com. If you get an A, I pay you $100. Haven't had too many A's. We've had a couple. We're overdue for an A, quite frankly. And I have a couple of portfolios that I am currently analyzing right now that I will be sharing with you in the coming weeks. And some of them look like we might have a potential A. So on today's show, we're doing a portfolio report card for CGS in Lake Orion, Michigan. He is 56, she's 48, married couple, and they've got combined assets of $1.4 million. We looked at cost. They're doing a good job in minimizing costs. I mean, they've only got two ETFs, SPY, QQQ, and one mutual fund, VFINX. That's a Vanguard S&P 500 fund. So really, those are the only funds they own, and one stock, Apple, AAPL. So the expenses are very low. They're not trading very frequently, so that's good. In terms of diversification, we already discussed that. They flunked on diversification. I mean, they've got basically a two-asset class portfolio, which is U.S. stocks and cash. Now, let's take a look at the next category, which is risk. This is a very, very, very crucial category, and it's one I see, as of late, a lot of people aren't doing well in this particular grading category because of the fact that their portfolios don't match their true level of risk tolerance, as well as their age, as well as their overall financial goals. Your portfolio should always be compatible with not just your age, but also your risk capacity and who you are, your unique investor personality. So in terms of who we're dealing with here, CGS, he is 56, she's 48. They've already acknowledged that they are aggressive investors. And he said very explicitly to me that our investment mix is determined by studying the markets. Well, you've got two of the most popular ETFs on the planet, SPY and QQQ, and one of the most popular mutual funds on the planet, VFINX, and then one of the most popular stocks on the planet, AAPL. So is this really an investment mix that's determined by studying the markets? It looks like a popularity contest to me, if I look at it from another angle. So in terms of overall risk, the question is, does this portfolio of two ETFs, one mutual fund and one stock, and spread across various types of accounts, but the bottom line is $1.4 million in two ETFs, one mutual fund and one stock, how does it do in terms of risk? Well, the combined portfolios have exposure 99% to U.S. stocks and 1% cash. The portfolios clearly are under-diversified. We already discussed they're missing major asset classes like bonds, like real estate, like commodities. No exposure to international stocks or emerging market stocks whatsoever, and way over-concentrated in U.S. stocks. Almost 40% of the portfolio alone is in Apple. He's got, let's see, $500,000 in his traditional IRA committed to Apple, and a 20 to 40% correction in the stock market. And yes, it has happened in the past. And yes, it will happen again in the future. And when it does happen, this particular portfolio with its current asset mix will be exposed to potential losses anywhere from around $300,000 up to $560,000 in potential market losses. So basically, you're talking almost cut in half. Worst case scenario, because it can always be worse. But we're looking at a 40% correction. It's quite significant of a hit that this particular portfolio would take. And so that's what happens when you concentrate your money in just a couple of funds and a couple of, well, in this case, one stock. And of course, Apple has done well. We're not debating that. The point, though, is in terms of risk, this portfolio, 99% exposure to stocks, 1% exposure to cash, is unacceptable from a risk management perspective. And so this portfolio flunks on risk. Let's take a look at the next area, which is tax efficiency. And this is a very, very dull area. I think probably the only ones interested in tax efficiency when I do this particular grading category are maybe the CPAs and tax accountants listening to the show. Of course, you don't need to be a CPA or a tax accountant to have a tax efficient portfolio, because it's a very easy thing to do. The first step is for your taxable money to make sure that you investing in a tax efficient vehicles like index funds and index ETFs. I mean, that's a very easy step that we all can take. We don't need to have an MBA in accounting to do that, do we? And then the other thing, aside from that, is to make sure that we're coordinating the assets in our taxable account with our tax-deferred retirement accounts, make sure that we're coordinating them in a correct manner. So what do I mean by that? Well, I'm saying with our money that is those tax-inefficient asset classes, like your REITs and your bonds, keeping those in your tax-deferred retirement accounts, and then those more tax-efficient assets like your stocks, you can keep those in your taxable accounts. Oh, by the way, commodities is a tax inefficient asset class. Keep that in your tax deferred account. So this is what you should be doing in terms of getting good tax efficiency for your portfolio and minimizing the tax bite. So CGS, the combined portfolios, from what I can see, have no premature distributions, no outstanding loans, no other behavior that's creating a tax averse situation. So in terms of tax efficiency, they do excellent in that area. Next up is the final grading category. We'll look at performance and again give CGS a final report card of A, B, C, D, or F. Do they get $100? We're going to see. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. And if you'd like to get a portfolio report card, go to portfolioreportcard.com. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. And get you caught up on some of the tactical asset classes and areas of the market that are doing well. Of course, we told you about materials. This is one of the smallest industry sectors within the S&P 500, XLB, up around 7% since the beginning of the year. That's the number one performing S&P 500 sector in 2015. Now, at the opposite spectrum, we've got XLU, which is utilities, down around almost 3.5%. And of course, the dynamic happening right now has been the rise in interest rates over the past couple of weeks. Of course, we'll see if that becomes a firmly established trend. We've got, for example, TLT, which is the most sensitive to any rate increases. That's the long-term U.S. Treasury ETF. TLT did break below its 50-day moving average. However, it has not broken below its 200-day moving average, which is currently at $118 a share. So as long as it stays above that threshold of 118, I would say the uptrend remains intact. However, that would be a very poor sign for TLT if it breaks 118, breaks below that threshold in terms of share prices. Now, from a strategic trading perspective, at ETFGuide.com, the monthly profit strategy newsletter, as well as the weekly picks and the technical forecast that I publish for the tactical portion of your portfolio, or what we call the non-core, we are out of TLT as well as some of those long leveraged ETFs like TMF and UBT. Those are ETFs that we exited because our stop losses, which we kept increasing as the share prices were increasing, well, the stop losses got triggered. And so when that happens, we get out. We don't double or second guess the market. We trade in a very disciplined manner. So that's something that I just wanted to alert you about. Now, in terms of other happenings that I think I should mention just briefly, in terms of like major mega investment themes, we see the cyber attacks, this global cyber attack thing happening, not just at a personal level, but also at a corporate and government level. And this is a mega investment theme that's currently unfolding. And there is an ETF that tracks stocks involved in this subsector within technology. And the bigger sector is XLK, that tracks S&P 500 technology stocks. That sector is doing pretty good in 2015. But this carves it up a little bit more narrowly. And the ticker symbol is HACK, HACK. That's a pretty easy ticker symbol to remember. So HACK is the Pure Funds ISE Cybersecurity ETF, ticker symbol HACK, follows 30 publicly traded companies that offer cyber security solutions, including hardware, software, and related services. Now, some of the top 10 holdings, among the top 10 holdings inside HACK, you've got Infoblox, Proofpoint, and FireEye. And HACK has gained around 18% over the past 3 months. This is an ETF that we highlighted to subscribers at ETF Guide back in December, and it's one of our current positions that we remain long in, and so far so good. Put that one down on your radar screen, HACK, H-A-C-K. Now, let's finish off the portfolio report card that we started, and this is for CGS in Lake Orion, Michigan. We told you a little bit about them at the outset of the show. He's 56, she's 48, and they've managed to accumulate $1.4 million. That doesn't happen by accident. Clearly, they're good savers, and that's outstanding. Also, the simplicity of their portfolio. I mean, you can't get more simple than two ETFs, one mutual fund, and one stock. So really, a very simple design, maybe too simple. They did okay in terms of cost. Diversification, they flunked. Risk, they flunked. Tax efficiency, they did fine. Last category for grading is performance. Combined portfolios grew 13% over the past year, or by $161,000, versus a 12.5% gain for our passive index benchmark matching the same asset mix. So they outperformed by about 0.5%. Their one-year return is satisfactory. The final report card for CGS is a C. Now, this means that the combined portfolios have major structural flaws. The portfolio flunked on diversification. It flunked on risk. They have 99% exposure to U.S. stocks, 1% exposure to cash. Already explained to you, a 20 to 40% correction would expose this portfolio to some pretty heavy losses, probably more than they can bear. You know, we're looking at losses anywhere from $280,000 up to $560,000. That's a lot of moolah to be putting at risk. And this current asset mix is clearly, this is beyond aggressive. This is a hyper-aggressive asset mix. It's not age-appropriate. It's not appropriate, period. And part of the problem is the diversification. There's no exposure to any other major asset classes but U.S. stocks and cash. This is a two-pony portfolio is what we're looking at, or two-horse portfolio. U.S. stocks and cash. There's no bonds, there's no real estate, there's no commodities, there's no international stocks, and it's just unacceptable from that perspective. Now, the biggest strengths of the portfolio is they're doing a good job in minimizing cost and minimizing taxes. That's good. And the performance, at least over the past year, was in line with our benchmark. But again, the asset mix is not appropriate for the age or true risk tolerance. And just something else that you should know is I had a conversation, a post-grade conversation with CGS, and they clearly explained to me that I asked them very deliberately, how much of this portfolio can you afford to lose? And they told me 50%. They can't afford to lose half of this portfolio. They absolutely can't have half of it be at risk the way it currently is. They even recognize the fact that this portfolio's risk orientation is way beyond where they should be. But the question is, will they be motivated to make the changes? Will they be motivated to make the structural improvements? And this gets back to something that, you know, the portfolio report card will identify the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio, but what it won't do is it won't take that next step, which fixes the responsibility on each of us as the investors. When we recognize weaknesses in our investment portfolio, it's up to us to fix it, to be motivated to make the changes. You see, so that's something that's on each of us. I can't make those changes for you. That's something that you have to be ready to do, because if you don't, I mean, if we're just identifying problems and not fixing them, well, then we're not going through the entire process, the exercise that we should be. And so this is something that I want to make all of you aware of. CGS, thank you for taking Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card Challenge. Even though you didn't get a good grade, well, you know what to do. You know the strengths and the weaknesses. Fix those weaknesses. Build upon those strengths. And this gets back to something else that's very important, and I'll probably talk about this in future episodes, is portfolio reconstruction. There's so much emphasis in today's financial universe about portfolio construction, portfolio building. Well, I want to put the emphasis on portfolio reconstruction, because most of us that have been investing for longer than 5 years already have a portfolio. The problem is the orientation of that portfolio is wrong. So That's where portfolio reconstruction comes in. And in this case, the one that we just graded for CGS, this clearly is a situation of where they need to do some portfolio reconstruction and scrap the bad and enhance the good and make the necessary improvements so as to get back on track. If you'd like to take Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card, go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get in touch with me. If your portfolio gets an A, I pay you $100. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. We'll catch you next week.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.